Good morning. Welcome to Celebration Church. Let's all stand as we recite together the Apostles' Creed. This is our statement of faith, who we are and what we believe at Celebration Church. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Good to have you with us here this morning at Celebration Church. Last night we had a great event at the Meyer Theater. Anybody go to that? Anybody? Yeah. A few of you. The rest of you think, I can see him for free. Why would I pay for that? But we had a great time with Yakov Smirnoff and his wife. They're here on the front row this morning. Yeah. I told them that's where the sinners sit. So anyway, this morning, looking at the Gospel of John, the 11th chapter, we're going to read the account of Lazarus. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Martha, whose brother is now laying sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, sent him a note. Lord, the one you love, in other words, our brother, is sick. So now we believe that God blesses people. Okay, that's one of the glorious things of the Christian faith, that you can be blessed. Things can go great in your life. We believe that blessed means to have received special favor, mercy, or benefit. It can also mean to enjoy happiness, contentment, or good fortune. It means receiving God's favor, regardless of circumstances, and experiencing inner peace, bliss, happiness, and joy that is not affected by circumstance. We preach this all the time. In Ephesians 1:3, we read this, praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. James writes these words, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So we do believe that God blesses people. But this does not mean we are insulated from the troubles of this life. Even people who love Jesus can have serious difficulties. Here's this family very close to Jesus, Martha and Mary and the brother Lazarus. And despite being so close to Jesus and all the blessings they're experiencing, all of a sudden now, Lazarus sick. He's really sick. Psalms 34 says this, verse 19, the righteous person may have many troubles. Somebody say amen. Yeah. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. That's the other side. That's where faith comes in. You know, everybody loves the idea of having a miracle, right? How many of you would love to have a miracle, right? Wow, cool is that. The problem is you only get a miracle if you need a miracle. That's the bad news. God doesn't just go around zapping everybody and doing cool things. He's not an entertainer. Yaakov and myself, we're entertainers. If we were God, we'd put wings on pigs and fly them around, just to freak people out just for the fun of it, right? But God doesn't do that. He is not an entertainer. He meets needs. Here's the problem. We walk along, we're aware that God does the miracles. We forget that you need a miracle to get a miracle. And then when we need a miracle, many people give up. They get discouraged. They cry. They bellyache. They whine. And they don't trust God and they miss out on their miracle. When bad things happen to you, hang in there. All right? God hasn't forgotten about you. Trust him. He will always come through. So anyway, they sent this note to Jesus, and Jesus said when he read the note, he says, so this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified in it. So God knows the end from the beginning. There's a phrase, I love this phrase. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Right? As Ben pointed out, this election is almost over. Thanks be to God. It's been brutal, you know. But no matter what happens, God knows. It's all under control. If somebody, whoever wins on Wednesday morning, God isn't going to go, oh, myself, I never thought that would happen. He knew exactly what's coming. We can trust God. He holds the future. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so he's very close to this family. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for two more days. Sometimes God delays on purpose. That's not fun, right? When we pray, we want to have an answer to prayer. We want it like, hello, let's get it done. Where are you, God? Pastor, I've been praying for a whole 3 hours. Nothing's happened yet. Be patient. God sometimes delays on purpose. And do you know why? Sometimes, so it'll get worse. There's good news. Why would he do that? He wants you to know that he's God and he can handle anything. God doesn't leave you when things go wrong. Sometimes things go terribly wrong. So here's his buddy Lazarus, the sick, the sisters are writing, you know, he's sick, and Jesus does nothing. And he just sits for two more days so he can get sicker and eventually die. Then Jesus says to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. They freaked out a little bit because they're just in Judea. They're trying to kill him. And they said, Rabbi, a short while ago, the Jews there were trying to stone you. You want to go back? You know, sometimes, this is an interesting thing. Sometimes we have to face and interact with people who hate us. You ever have people who don't like you? They're mean to you, nasty. Sometimes we're called to be nice to the people, to interact with those people. Having said that, I think boundaries are good, okay? If I'm around you and whenever I get around you, you tend to punch me in the face, I tend to stay away from you, all right? That's fine. But even in that context, sometimes God calls us to intentionally put ourselves in situations where others wish us harm. For we are called to love our enemies, not just hide from our enemies. Jesus said this when he gave his Beatitudes in chapter 5 of Matthew. He said, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Back to John 11, now verse 11, he said, after he said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus is asleep, and I'm going there to wake him up. And the disciples, who first of all don't want to go back there because they just had a bad experience, said, Lord, if he sleeps, this is good news. He's going to get better. But Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe. I'm glad I waited. I'm glad that we're letting things get worse because you're about to see something that's going to really transform your lives. But let's go to him. And then Thomas, also known as Didymus, there's a nickname, hey Didymus, said to the rest of his disciples, let's also go that we may die with him. Now some people, sometimes even the best of people, are quick to turn negative. So here we're going to go see Lazarus. Come on, let's go. And they go, oh, we're going to die. We're all going to die. Let's go die with him. They always expect the worst, always fear the future, always rain on others' parades. We need to love these people, but don't let their negativity affect you. Don't let that overwhelm you. And there's always people in your life, no matter how, because Thomas is one of the apostles, right? He's not exactly a positive guy at this point. But he got handed to him. At least we're all going to die together. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. So he is really dead. One of my favorite movies is The Princess Bride. You guys seen this movie? I love this movie. You ever seen this movie? Yes. The guy dies and says, it's too late. And the little character comes and says, no, he's not completely dead. He's just mostly dead. There's a big difference between being mostly dead and all dead. So because he was only mostly dead, there is hope. Goofy movie, but it's very funny. So anyway, Jesus at this point has done some pretty amazing miracles. Someone would die, and even people who died, he'd bring back to life. But if you're a skeptic, you're thinking, maybe he really wasn't dead. You know what I'm saying? For example, if my friend Yaakov falls over dead, not wishing that on you, and one of you doctors and nurses come over and go, he's dead. Oh my gosh, he's dead. And then I quick run down and I pray for him and he sits up and goes, whew. You know what a lot of you think? He wasn't really dead. He had gas, you know, something, who knows. That's the way we think, right? He's dead, but maybe he wasn't really dead because he wasn't dead very long. Well, in this case, Lazarus is completely and totally dead. 4 days he's been dead. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. She's probably depressed, obviously. The brother died. And maybe a little mad, you know. Even Martha was probably a little irritated. Said, Lord, if you'd have been here, you got my note, why did you delay? God, why didn't you come quicker? If you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. Why would she say that? Because everybody saw Jesus. He'd heal the sick. His brother's sick. Jesus would have healed him. This wouldn't have happened. This wouldn't have happened if God had been on time. But even then she says, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. She said, I know. He'll rise again in the resurrection at that last day. And Jesus thought of these words. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And Martha answered, I believe you are the Messiah. Yes, the Son of God who has come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher's here and is asking for you. Then when Mary heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, was still in a place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her, notice how quickly she got up and went off. They figured, she's going to the tomb. She's going to mourn there. You know, let's go follow her. And when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, again, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. It's an intense situation. There is intense, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where it's just intense sorrow. I mean, sorrow. You know, I've been to some funerals where it's not unusual, people would actually faint, you know, because they're so overcome with sorrow. Although I got to tell you, one was really weird. The guy's like 96 years old, and he dies. And they're wailing, and women are passing out. I'm thinking, he was 96. You weren't prepared for this? It was like shocking to them. Anyway, it's that kind of environment. People are very, very overcome. And Jesus says, where did you lay him? And they reply, well, come and see. So they take him to the tomb. And Jesus, now this is the shortest verse in the Bible. If you're ever on a game show and they're asking you for $100,000, what is the shortest verse in the Bible? This is it. And it says, Jesus wept. So Jesus, he's overcome by all this emotion and stuff. He's God, but he's also human in the flesh. And he's crying. Everybody's crying. The whole place is crying. And the Jews said, wow, see how he loved him. But some of them, there's always the buts. You got buts in your life? We all have buts. But some said, and started criticizing, couldn't he who opened the eyes of the blind man kept this man from dying? You know, some people, God love them, can't help but be critical. Doesn't matter what's going on. They see the dark side of everything. They're always walking around like Eeyore under a cloud. Oh, bother. Oh, it's going to be awful. It's going to get worse. Oh. Once, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance, very common in those days. Jesus was laid in such a tomb with a stone rolled in front of it. And he says, take away the stone. And Martha says, Lord, this time there's a bad odor. And the King James Version says, Lord, he stinketh. And I love to quote that verse to some of my friends. You stinketh. And there's a bad odor. He's been there for 4 days. I mean, he's totally dead. This is beyond any type of maybe something else happened. Jesus said, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took the stone away. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me. I just said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they might believe that you sent me. And then when he'd said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Now, can you imagine the tension at this moment? They roll back the tomb for a guy who's been in there for 4 days. Jesus, all this attention's on him, yells, Lazarus, come out. And everybody just goes, to see what's going to happen. I mean, the tension is palatable. It's just, you can cut it with a knife. And the dead man came out. He didn't just walk out, though. His hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen, and there was a cloth around his face, so he hops out like a mummy. All of a sudden, he just comes out. Now, I don't know what these people did. Me, you'd be having to raise me from the dead. The guy comes hopping out like a mummy. Oh, my gosh. How do you not have a heart attack with something like that? And Jesus said, take the grave clothes. Take off the grave clothes and let him go. This is amazing. You read this story. It's the encouragement here. It's a very simple message. God can do anything. Even when it seems like things are delaying and not moving as quickly as you wish they would. Because we're all impatient. I mean, we're Americans, right? I get irritated when my fries take too long at the window. You know, the worst is at Culver's when they hand you a number. No, not the number. Oh, I hate the number. We have no patience. And sometimes it affects our faith because we start having hard times. We pray about it. Nothing happens right away. We lose heart. Don't lose heart. This old pastor's awful. Don't lose heart. But it's even getting more awful. Maybe God wants it to get more awful. Well, I don't want that. None of us want it. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, the psalm said, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. God is faithful. Don't lose heart. Anyway, I like the fact that he hops out and Jesus says to him, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Now, this analogy is kind of where the church comes in. We come alongside those who have come to life in Jesus. Their lives are changed. But they still have issues. Sound familiar to anybody out here? I'm a Christian, but I still have issues. I still do this, and I struggle with that. And it's because you still got some grave clothes on you. It's our job to get them off. All right? Jesus could have walked over and taken the grave clothes off. He didn't say, you do it. Unwrap him. So that's what we're called to do. We're called to encourage each other. Unwrap each other from the struggles that we have in life. But here's the problem. We can't do that if you're not connected. We can't help you get the grave clothes of icky off you, even though you're a Christian, even though you had faith, and you're struggling, I struggle, oh, my life is horrible. I hear these stories everywhere I go, you know. But you got to come to church. And it's not going to, we can't get the grave clothes off you if you show up twice a year. The Creasters, Christmas and Easter. Now, I'm glad y'all visit once in a while. That's nice. The truth is, on average, American Christians were terrible. Go to church, on average, once every 6 weeks. And I know that describes a lot of you. And I'm not mad at you. I love y'all. But some of y'all still wrapped in grave clothes. And you don't like it. And we'd like to get them off you. But you got to come around. Let God work in your life. Get around people who can help you and encourage you. Pray for you. You can experience God's presence and grace in your life. But it can't happen. And here's the thing. A lot of people, when they start struggling, the first thing they do is stop coming to church. Right? The amount of times I've seen this is stunning. Where you been? I haven't been going to church in a while. Oh, I'm really struggling. That's when you go to church. It's like saying, you know, I'm really sick. Did you go to the doctor? No, I'm sick. Well, you should go to the doctor. No, but I'm really sick. Well, that's when you're supposed to go to the doctor, when you're really sick. Don't be like Adam, right? Adam and Eve both fall, and God comes, and they're hiding. They're like you can hide from God, for heaven's sakes. And they're hiding. They're running away from God when they should be running to him. You say, well, Pastor, I feel like I've really messed up. That's all the reason you should run to him. That's where you'll find grace. That's where you'll find strength. Yeah, but I made some terrible mistakes. It doesn't shock God. He's seen it all. There's nothing you've done that is too awful for him. Don't run away. Let him work in your life. And let us, as a community of faith, get some of those grave clothes off you. Otherwise, you know, and it really describes a lot of Christians. They're born again. They come to church occasionally, but their whole life is, I'm a Christian. Yeah. Why are you having a hard time working? I got these grave clothes on me. I can't move. We got to get them off. Let the church, let the power of God, let the presence of God, as we gather and sing and worship, come and set you free from all of that.
Amen. Thank you for that one amen. It's overwhelming.
All right, we're going to have our time of communion. This is when we celebrate what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. His body was broken so we could be made whole. His blood was shed so we could be washed clean from all of our sins. And the Bible says, whenever you do this, you should pause and reflect. This is kind of a grave clothes moment where you get some of that stuff off of you just to reflect and see where you're at. So with those words in mind, I want you to bow our heads. I'm going to pray a prayer of forgiveness over all of us before we take communion. Heavenly Father, before we partake of the bread and the cup this morning, and in obedience to the scriptures, we pause now to examine ourselves. Lord, if we've sinned against you in any way, something we did that we shouldn't have done, something that we should have done but we didn't do, some of these grave clothes still on us from our past, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus, who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, we pray, have mercy on us. Help us to walk in freedom. Forgive us of all of our sins and strengthen us in all goodness, that we might delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. And while heads are bowed and people are reflecting, maybe you're here and you're thinking, you know, I've never done any of the stuff that you guys are talking about. You can, right now, in your own words, just whisper to God. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and to forgive you of your sins. And you can take your first steps of faith this morning and start coming into new life. Say, well, I've been really bad. It's been awful. I haven't been to church in for 100 years. So you're like in the grave for 4 days. It's never too late. There's always hope in life in Jesus. Amen.